Hi, I'm Matt Katz, in for Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. We're less than 2 months away from the 2022 Winter Olympics, where athletes from all over the world will gather to go for the gold. Normally, this is a time for nations to come together, but there will be a few absences.
The United States will not send any official representatives to the Olympics, according to the White House officials today. The U.S. is accusing China of genocide, crimes against humanity, and other human rights abuses.
The United Kingdom, Australia, and Canada are also keeping their representatives at home. We should note that the boycotts only apply to diplomats and not the athletes. In a statement, China's foreign ministry said they basically don't care if the politicians show up or not because it won't affect their nation's success in hosting the Olympics. So things seem a little testy, not in the true spirit of the Olympics, but still, if this boycott isn't really going to change anything, especially for the abuses that do exist on the ground in China, then what's the point? For more on this, I spoke with Jen Kirby, foreign and national security reporter for Vox. I asked Jen to tell me about this boycott and what it means, if anything.
It doesn't mean all that much. This is what they're calling a diplomatic boycott, which basically just means that the United States and a few of its allies, right now, I believe it's the United Kingdom, Canada, and Australia, who are all on board. They're basically not going to be sending any, high-level or government officials. So no delegations from these countries are going to be, attending the opening ceremonies or doing anything over in Beijing. This is an opportunity for the United States and some of its partners to kind of take a stand against Beijing's human rights abuses, which is their justification for the diplomatic boycott, without actually affecting the athletes themselves and the people who are going to be competing at the games.
Sure. Has the U.S. done a diplomatic boycott like this against Olympic Games in the past?
So the last boycott was a real boycott, as far as I know, which was in 1980, which was against Moscow. And that was a full-on boycott, which meant that the United States basically, encouraged or help made the U.S. Olympic Committee not send actual athletes at all. So the U.S. didn't participate in the games, and a few allied countries joined them, not everyone. But this basically didn't really work out so well. The reason for the boycott, of course, was the Soviet Union's invasion of Afghanistan in 1979. And basically what happened was Moscow got to win a whole bunch of medals, so it was a big win for them. And a bunch of athletes missed out on their one chance to win the Olympic gold. And so it caused a lot of controversy at home without much geopolitical benefit.
Tell us a little bit about the reasons behind this boycott, the human rights violations that are being committed in China right now.
Yeah. So, of course, the big one that is on many activists' mind, of course, is the Uyghurs in Xinjiang, where the Chinese government is waging a mass repression campaign against a Muslim minority. The United States has classified it as a genocide. And so, there's been much reporting done, really incredible reporting done about the human rights atrocities there. People are in internment internment camps. There's been reports of forced labor. And so this is sort of the main, atrocities that right. The United States and its allies are pointing to. But of course, there is, the repression of Tibetans, there are the democratic crackdown in Hong Kong. And so there are many other kind of human rights abuses that people are pointing to as a reason why China should not be hosting the Olympic Games this year.
This might be naive, I'm not steeped in the intricacies of diplomatic relations here, but if the motivation is to shed light and attention on like the genocide of Uyghurs, wouldn't it have been more effective to send like the top human rights official in the Biden administration to the Olympics to decry China's actions to every available TV camera from all over the world, to just like use the world's attention as it's turned to China to lay out the case, to lay out the details, as you just told them to me?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the other kind of counter argument that a lot of, some people might make, which is, and of course, the model for that is, the 1936 Olympics in Germany, where, you had sort of the example of Jesse Owens, right? We mm-hmm. fight and we compete and we stand up for our values. But I think sort of the argument, I guess, in favor of not sending officials is that China isn't really going to respond to the diplomatic pressure. And so this is more of a way for the Biden administration and some of our allies to kind of split the difference. They will get some news coverage. They'll be able to take a stand, but it won't necessarily kind of change the game because it wasn't going to either way. And so the hope, I guess, is that if we're talking about a boycott, it will kind of bring attention to what is happening. Even though the expectation of sort of China changing its policies is next to nil when it comes to this.
Do some politicians in the States feel that this boycott is weak sauce and not going far enough?
Yeah, I do think that is the case. You know, I haven't, it's probably been changed since, but I know Marco Rubio, for example, has pushed for a more extensive boycott, as have other people. Some athletes in Canada, I saw, were pushing for some athletes to step out. And that's sort of going to be, I think things are a little bit interesting now in that we have the question of COVID, which is kind of creating this new dynamic. And I think one of the questions will be, will that create an off-ramp for people to sort of kind of do both in a way they hadn't before? But I think there are definitely people pushing for more. And of course, the economics of this, right? It's all well and good for U.S. officials to stay home, but there are, you know, multinational companies who are going to be sponsoring the games. And, you know, a lot of activists are saying that's kind of where it might hurt. And so why aren't these companies or sponsors budging at all when it comes to China?
Sure. And we're not really seeing any corporations or athletes boycotting, are we?
No, I mean, right now it seems to be most companies and athletes are going ahead as with business as usual. I'm sure they're going to be asked quite a lot about it as we get closer and closer to the games. But for now, this is sort of stayed in the political realm, although there are some lawmakers and definitely activists who are pushing for tougher action.
You know, you've described it as symbolic more than substantial, but that doesn't mean that it's consequence-free, right? I mean, there could be an effect in terms of Chinese-American relations?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, I mean, it's certainly China doesn't want the U.S. or anyone else to boycott the games diplomatically. You know, this is, again, we thought COVID was kind of on the wane, but obviously now that we've seen Omicron, the question is a little bit different, but this was going to be, you know, China's big coming out period. They were going to try to maybe do a better job than Tokyo in these pandemic games. This is, you know, a chance for them to showcase Beijing once again on the world stage. And so the idea that, you know, major world powers are saying we're not going to come, they don't like it. And of course, they're going to punch back, rhetorically against it. And I think, you know, as I've written and then talked to experts about this, look, is it going to change anything? No, but this will be another example China points to say, ah, look, you know, the United States, they say they want to, you know, cooperate us on certain issues, but we can't even get them to come to the Olympic Games. And so it might just, in an already tense relationship, just make things a little bit worse.
How has China punched back?
They've kind of gone with their sort of, you know, it's often called wolf warrior diplomacy, right? With their foreign ministers and folks kind of pointing out the ridiculousness of the games. They've basically said, well, it's great that you're not coming. You weren't really invited anyway. And so, which is always like a good one.
Right.
And so they're basically trying to dismiss it and say, this wasn't a big deal. We're not really bothered by it. But I think it definitely does needle them because the Olympics do matter to them and they don't want this conversation happening right now.
You write that this move is at the very least poignant in the wake of what's happened to Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai. Can you talk a little bit about what's happened to her and then the response by the Women's Tennis Association?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that has coincided a little bit with the boycott, which of course was Peng Shuai had made allegations against a high-ranking Chinese Communist Party official for sexual assault, and then basically promptly disappeared. She's since come out. The latest twist, as I understand it, has she said that she never made those allegations. But in sort of defense of their player, the Women's Tennis Association had said that they would not be participating in, you know, tournaments in China. And this is a big deal. And it was a real example of a sports organization standing up to China. We've seen sort of similar kerfuffles with the NBA, for example, and they haven't really taken a stand. And so, I mean, this is enough. It just shows that I think the sports world, beyond sort of the political world, is really trying to grapple with well, what do we do? You know, China is a big market. They also have, you know, athletes who want to compete on the world stage. How do we handle, you know, how do we exist in this world of China's repression, which is, you know, against groups of people, but also against individuals who speak out against the government? And how do we balance this? And I think, you know, this happening with the Peng Shui incident is raising those questions all over again.
Jen Kirby, foreign and national security reporter for Vox. Jen, really appreciate you joining us today on The Takeaway.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.